Latin and queer, we're here. From London to the entire galaxy, in English y Español. Bienvenidos a Plaza Carnaval.
Hey everyone, we are here in this brand new episode of Plaza Carnaval, in a brighter London, I have to say, because, you know, springtime has finally arrived, and also a bit of a relaxation of the lockdown rules. It has brought us like a bit of happiness into our lives. We don't know how long it's going to last, but but we're going to enjoy it till it lasts. So, yeah. And we're here to talk about books today. But not any books, books for children, and not any children, bilingual children. And I'd like to start with a quote by Malala, you know, the Pakistani activist. And let us pick up our books and our pens. They are our most powerful weapons. And I think she cannot be more right with this quote.
Absolutely.
Because literally ideas and books and its lines can change people's lives and destinies. So for that reason, I have invited Sandra Lopez, who is an entrepreneur, who is the boss of Piñata Bookstore. And she's going to be telling us about this entrepreneurship and how do you start it. Yeah, I'd like to know. I'd like to start with the basic question, which is what's Piñata? When do you realize that there was a gap of Spanish books in the market? And yeah, everything. Tell me, please. Welcome.
Yeah, sure. I mean, thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation and having me here. I think the idea started as soon as my daughter was born, which was just over 4 years ago. So I've been living in the UK for quite a while, and it never occurred to me that, you know, I would need books in Spanish for my little one. So when she was born, I had just a few, not very many. So, but I, you know, I knew that I wanted to raise her bilingual. And I think, you know, when she was born, it was just a shortage of Spanish books that I had at home. You know, we kept on reading the three books that I had just over and over,
over and over again.
And at that point, you know, I started looking around, and it's just so difficult to find Spanish books in, you know, in England. And the few that you find, they're quite expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like the English books that, you know, you can find one for £3 or £4. They just go above, you know, that price. And I thought, well, there surely should, you know, there is something that we can do about this. But I think, you know, between maternity leave and my day job and everything, the idea didn't quite materialize until a few months ago. Because I think it just, you know, it just took too much thinking, I think. But whenever it's too late, I guess.
I suppose the pandemic came across and that gave you a little bit of that kind of the push or that you needed.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. That's absolutely true. Because, you know, that started, as we know, in March. And I started this project in October. But I think, you know, the idea was born, as I said, 4 years ago. And I was just sort of, you know, going over and over, many ideas and, you know, how do I start? Where do I begin? And I think it was just one of those moments where I said, I'm going to do it. And then that's it. And then, you know, from one day to the next, I started just actually doing things about it. And I think as you said, it just, the pandemic just helped, a lot because, you know, everything moved online. It was everything just really just, you know, that was the world that we were living in. So that really gave me the tools I needed to start this new adventure.
Wow. So it has some positive aspects. Finally, this nightmare we've been going through.
I know.
But I was really impressed that I was actually checking up some stats, and more than 200 million books were sold in the UK in the past year. And it's the first time basically since 2012 that number has been exceeded. And
wow.
It's the biggest volume in the books market since since 2007, and also a third of the children and young people say they are reading more now during this this lockdown period, according to a report by a National Literacy Trust. So, and obviously, I thought, well, as I mentioned before we started the recording, I don't have kids around, but for adults, ourselves, we've been benefit, you know, by reading, by the arts, by watching films, by listening to music. So arts, as we've said in this podcast before, it has been key to get us through these times. And I wanted to ask you, in your situation, you know, as a mother and dealing with kids at home, and how important books, especially, because we're going to be talking about technology a little bit later, but I wanted to know what's the role book have been playing in during this time.
In our house, books are really important, and not just for the, you know, this pandemic sort of side of things. But since my daughter was born, I think that was one of the main things that we sort of focused on when, you know, we planned on raising her bilingual. So reading to her in Spanish has been the main sort of focus for us. So I would tell you that, you know, as soon as she got home, probably we waited, you know, a few days, 2-3 days, and then we started to read, you know, started reading to her, both in English and in Spanish, but mainly in Spanish. And since the day she was born, since the day she came to our house, I will tell you that she's not missed a day of us reading to her. So every single day we read to her, maybe two, three books a day. And also a bedtime. So it's been always, you know, a top priority for us, the reading to her. And now with the pandemic, you know, we needed more variety. We needed more books, because it was one of the things that, you know, we also continue focusing on. But I think it's just really important to us, because it's, you know, the opportunities that you get in the UK to be exposed to a foreign language as Spanish is, they're not as common as usual as, you know, is, I don't know, maybe French or something. So we wanted to create those opportunities we had to, you know, listen to Spanish and also practice Spanish. I mean, she still doesn't read, but she's fully bilingual and she loves talking Spanish. And she wants to teach everybody to speak Spanish. So I think that's, you know, we projected that love for the language and my culture to her, that she's fully embraced, that sort of side of, like, you know, my side of my world. My husband is English, but he speaks Spanish, so that's been a huge help for us.
Oh wow, I can tell you, I've known cases where one parent speaks one language, the other one doesn't speak, and it's not that easy to
it's difficult
to do the job. And
you
mentioned now raising kids bilingual, that I can tell from what you're telling me that it's a decision you make. Basically, it's something that you put work on it.
And yes.
So, research shows that children will grow up with a better sense of self when they are aware of their traditions, you know, their origins, and they're active in the traditions as well. You know, you're from Mexico, and it's not just the language, as you said, but it's also what it comes along with, culture and food, you know, well, everything that is, that involves culture. And also being bilingual can give a child a sense of pride and accomplishment. So I want you to know if that flexibility or that appreciation of diversity, it gets extended to other matters, like, I don't know, like diversity in terms of disabilities or LGBT subjects, or feminism,
yes,
in terms think, of respect, you know, the genders and.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think for me, you know, the books have been sort of the main tool that we use for bilingualism. But also I use it, as, you know, with, as my husband says, sometimes, you know, books with hidden agenda. Because, you know, although they're kids, you know, books for kids, you know, you're talking about inclusivity, you know, diversity and all of that. And we have, you know, I sort of have more books on that sort of themes in English because they're more easy to get. But I do use that also not to only for the language, but to promote and teach her, you know, the different sort of, you know, for her to know what is out there and everything is, you know, is just normal. It's just a matter of knowing that from the beginning and not seeing it as a different sort of matter. But I think books, it just, it, you know, that you can use them as, you know, as a resources for many, many things. And I think for us, it has been, you know, a tool for, as I said, you know, for language and also for her to, you know, for her to expand in terms of her knowledge in many other matters as well.
Yeah, as environment, today you were posting a book on your Instagram about a book about environment. So it's basically, as you said, I love the concept of hidden agenda because it's basically hidden agenda for creating for expanding the conscious of
exactly,
of your kids,
you know, a positive awareness. Hidden agenda, yeah. We'll say exactly because you know we still read, I don't know, you know, about unicorns and we still read about, you know, anything, but you know there are those books and we don't differentiate between one and the other. You know, it's always, you know, whatever it is that she likes, you know, we just choose them and it's just normal. It's not like, you know, these are different and these are the ones that you sort of enjoy the most, but she enjoys them equally because, you know, we just treat them as,
but
you know,
it's a story.
Normal.
Yeah. It's got characters and fun and adventures and.
Exactly. I think it just, nowadays, you know, the books for kids are just so beautiful and so beautifully illustrated. And the facility to create new stories and, you know, and as I call it, as, you know, recycling the books because it's not only reading the books, but, you know, it's also creating your own stories from the pictures. because she still doesn't read. So we say, you know, I ask her, can you please read me this book? And she's like, mommy, I don't know. Yes, you do know. Let's have a look at the pictures. And then she creates her own story. You know, so it's just beautiful, really.
Two or three books
working with books. Absolutely. Yes.
That's great. So in terms of, what's available out there in the market, not what you mentioned earlier on that, it's not that easy to find these subjects in Spanish books for kids. But would you say that this is improving? Like
it's definitely, yeah, I think the availability is definitely improving. But I think I still, you know, those are the kind of books I want to bring to my store. But it's still quite difficult for me to get them, you know, as a wholesale. But I think, you know, we can see more and more and I've got books that I had in English and I'm now bringing them in Spanish, and they're available. So it's good. It's just, I guess it because I'm just starting, you know, you need to be a bit more powerful to get good deals and good books. But you know, we'll get there hopefully.
Well, yeah, I think it's so important and it's not, I think we have to take this seriously, you know, what we've been telling, what stories we are picking for future generations, basically, what kind of men and women we are raising and, you know, like gender stereotypes and
absolutely
diversity in terms of LGBT issues. And I think it's so important. And I don't think schools, for instance, or libraries, or they're still a bit behind, I think, of what would you expect at this point to teach through, you know, bookstores, book stories and children's material, you know, to put that on the table and say we are in charge. I think
absolutely there is still a long way, you know, to go. But I think we're sort of moving on the right direction, I would say, because, you know, in my time, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, but, you know, it was only like Disney stories.
I think we are from the same generation.
Let's leave it at that. but it was, you know, I would never see something, you know, with diversity sort of involved in it. You know, you would never really see that. But I think nowadays, especially when you look around and you start seeing, you know, the new books, a lot of them. So there is a lot of variety to choose from. And now I just need to sort of bring that, you know, into the Spanish sort of community. But there is in English a bit more than what we had before, absolutely.
That's great. Yeah. And also the idols that you can put out there for kids like to look up, you know. When I was a kid, I remember I was so fond of like female leaders, and that they were so, you know, there were many in cartoons, in books, like females leading the way, or the yeah. heroes, if you want, because we always know the we are so aware of the hero concept, but we're not aware of the shiro concept, or the girl power, if you want, like not that I'm quoting Spice Girls, but and now I came across with this amazing series of books by this Argentinian author called Nadia Fink. It's a series called Anti-Princesas. I think if you haven't, you need to invite her over and be part of your collection. She's taking basically different historical figures, female figures from Latin America, Frida Kahlo, Violeta Parra, and she's putting these characters, she's turning into cartoon characters, or like characters that they are in a kid's story and in their books, with this female strong figures on the cover. So it's really interesting. But what are the most popular books for kids at the moment? What are they reading, or what are they attracted to at the moment?
I think I would say, because I think, you know, the beginning when I started this project, I started with picture books, you know, stories and these sort of things. But then I got into the educational books. And you know, where, as you said before, you know, about the environment, or, you know, let's learn about space, or let's learn about, how things work. And so I think that has become a bit more popular. And I guess, I don't know if it's down to the fact that, you know, the kids were homeschooled, you know, for quite a long time. And they, you know, they were reading these sort of books more often than before, because, you know, you sort of not only read, but also learn about, you know, facts and multiple things that, you know, you will be taught at school. So those are the books that I personally sort of experienced that, you know, we're selling more. But it's also, I think, one of the most popular ones is about, talking about emotions and, you know, okay. your feelings. And I think those ones are becoming more popular as well, because then, you know, when we raise them aware of, you know, what our emotions are, you know,
the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. It's more easy to talk about it and find solutions for any way that they might feel. And those books are becoming more popular now as well. And I guess, you know, not only to learn about that, but to probably help with what we have sort of lived in the past few months. Because, you know, it's been quite tough for everyone.
It's so important to talk about that, especially now that everybody's mental health has been affected by this this situation. So, and I'm going to take something that I said earlier on about technology. And how are you coping with this situation? Because I find myself looking at the screen for hours, or no hours, but long minutes, just scrolling down, you know, Instagram stories. Or, and so how are we keeping, you know, the physical books alive when you have thousands of screens next to your kids?
Yes, you know, I think it's you know, we like during the week we don't watch anything, we don't have screens lying around, you know, we don't. Okay. I mean, I personally, you know, I probably am a bad sort of influence, you know, because I'm normally on my phone, but it's that, you know, that's during the day, so I don't hide from my daughter for, you know, for her not to see me. But, you know, when she's home because she's currently in a nursery. So when she's a nursery, you know, I get my screen time, everything I want. And then when she's home, you know, that's family time. You know, we don't do anything.
You respect that space and you don't.
Yes, yes. So, and you know, as soon as she goes to bed, then I'm there again on my phone. But I think it's, but I think just giving her, and giving them, you know, the time. And I know it's difficult because, you know, there were times, especially when she wasn't in nursery, you know, early last year when everything sort of just closed. When you need that time, you know, you really, you know, you squeeze yourself the whole single day to give them the time and attention. But then there is sometimes that need for that time. And you know, I remember just, talking to some friends and say, you know, just don't feel bad about it. You know, if you need half an hour, you need half an hour, because then the rest of the day you will be up for it again. Because, you know, there is no way that we can go on for, you know, 12 hours nonstop. You know, sometimes they do need that, but I think it's just a matter of restricting it and just putting a time on it. You know, if you need it, if you need the time, you know, fair enough, it's fine. But just don't let it go for hours and hours.
Like non-control and kind of put the boundaries between, you know, family time and school time and screens.
Absolutely.
Are very limited.
And you know, and I think for us, it just worked differently because, you know, she's a nursery, then she comes home and we, you know, we're eager to see her, you know, we want to spend time and then she goes to bed and everything. But then on the weekends, you know, we might watch something as a family. But then again, you know, if we have the opportunity to say, shall we, I don't know, watch something or shall we read a book? We will choose, we will give her the option to read a book before, you know, she asks for anything else.
She will go for the second option?
And she always does go for the book, you know, she always asks for the book. And I guess it's just because she's used to it. And even sometimes when she asks for, you know, to watch something, there is a no. So she probably just saves herself, you know, the
question. That's good tip, actually, for parents out there who are watching and listening to this podcast. And this last bit, I would like to switch to Spanish. Entonces, vamos a hacer esta parte en español, la última parte que tiene que ver con recomendados, libros que recomiendas, por ejemplo, a los padres que están iniciando o que están pensando en adentrarse en la enseñanza bilingüe para sus hijas.
Sí, mira,
¿qué libro sería bueno?
En cuanto a los libros, como te comentaba antes, yo a mi niña la empezamos a leer desde que estaba chiquitita. Y te voy a decir que no tenía ni un mes de nacida cuando yo ya le leía novelas a ella, porque no tenía más que ofrecerle. O sea, yo leía mis novelas en español a ella. Entonces,
para que se fuera acostumbrando.
Para que se fuera acostumbrando. Exactamente. Yeah. Entonces, así empezamos. Y yo creo que y empezar nada más como a cambiar unas cosas para como cuando iba creciendo, para que lo encontrara diferente, lo encontrara interesante. Pero yo creo que primero que nada es acostumbrarlos a escucharte, y de repente hay niños que no quieren pararse 5 minutos, pero tú seguir leyendo, o sea, seguir leyendo y empezar con algo que a ellos les guste y les llame la atención. Igual si es, no sé, Paw Patrol o Peppa Pig o algo, si eso es lo que a ellos les llama la atención, para empezar hay que leerles eso. Sí, porque mira, no le vas a poner un libro X y ellos de por sí no están su atención en libros, con eso mucho menos les vas a captivar la atención.
Quijote de la Mancha en un inicio.
Exacto. No, déjalo para después.
El mío sí, tampoco.
Sí.
¿Algún libro que recomiendes para decantar los ánimos, las energías en la noche, para irse a la cama, a dormir?
Pues en realidad cualquier libro, ¿sabes? Porque son nada más, yo lo que hago es agarrar, ella escoge siempre dos o tres libros, pero siempre uno de esos libros tiene que ser en español. Entonces ella sabe que tiene que escoger en español y ya los demás lo que sean. Entonces cualquier libro que sea, nada más a la hora de leerlo, en lugar de hacerlo todo emocionante y hacer las voces y hacerlo todo, nada más como más tranquilamente. Sí, nada más tranquilamente, porque yo creo que la variedad es lo que nos hace falta mucho. Entonces uno tiene que aprender a cómo ajustarlos y adaptarlos a la situación.
Excelente. ¿Y algún libro que tú estés leyendo? No el libro de niños. ¿Y qué recomiendas?
Ahorita sabes que estoy leyendo puros libros de niños porque son los que me llegan. Y me gusta leerlos todos para saber qué es lo que hay en los libros. Pero tengo tres libros empezados que son de adultos que yo leo. y no recuerdo exactamente los títulos, pero son libros de acerca de bilingüismo. Entonces me paso entre un libro, me paso entre otro, y ya si tengo 5 minutos, empiezo a leer 1 o 2 páginas o capítulos entre unos y otros, porque aparte de que me sigo informando acerca del bilingüismo y todas las cosas que uno tiene que hacer, me ayuda mucho para entender qué es lo que los padres tienen que hacer, y al mismo tiempo me ayuda con ahora con mi cuenta de Instagram, así para poder transmitir ese aprendizaje que yo he tenido por medio de mi lectura hacia los padres. O sea, como un mini resumen, ¿no? Un enunciado que digan, ah, sí, es cierto, es un recordatorio de lo que se tiene que hacer o algo así. Entonces, sí, 2 o 3 libros siempre que me duran, no sé, 3 o 4 meses para terminar, porque imagínate.
Sí, claro. Tiempo es lo que está escaseando cuando, me imagino, cuando se tiene niñas en casa y hay que estudiar, sí. Y además ahora un emprendimiento, así que, well, Sandra, thank you very much for this chat, and obviously before we go, I'd like to ask you how do we get these books, how do we buy them from?
Yes, well, you find me on Instagram first. I think that's my main platform, so you find me as Spanish Books for Kids. Although the actual name of my store is Piñata Bookstore, but that's a long story, but you find me as a Spanish book for kids.
But if you type Piñata Bookstore, you can also take you to your store, or no?
Because I have a tag, so if you type that on the tags on Instagram, I'll come up. Okay. But I do have a page on Facebook, which is called Piñata Bookstore. And I don't use it as much, but it just helps me to sort of channel, you know, anyone who comes through Facebook, yeah, to my page on Instagram.
You have books very, very low prices as £2. And what's the age range?
For now, I have from, like, you know, newborns until about 12 years old. So it's really quite, you know, those first few years. So from babies to educational books, to books for kids who are reading, starting to read in Spanish. So those are sort of like special novels for kids. But yeah, so you'll find me on Instagram mainly.
That's brilliant, Sandra. Thank you very much, and congratulations for this entrepreneurship and for the energy
that you put
onto it. And I think it's a great, great window that many, many parents, you know, that also not only they had, you know, their roots in Latin America or Spain, or but they want to teach a secondary language to their kids. So I think it's brilliant. Thank you, and all
thank
the best.
You so much. Thank you. Nice talking to you. Take care. Bye.